recording right now. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face, but bold toward you when I'm away, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Okay, let's pray. Father, I surrender to you. I give you this message. I pray that you would speak. I bind and rebuke any unclean spirit that's trying to interfere with this message. We pray that you would heal us of headaches and every distraction. We pray that you would meet us, Lord, in a very personal way. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The heart of God is balanced and is consistent. I'll say it again. The heart of God is balanced and consistent. Actually, before I continue, I want us to repeat two things, and I pray that it may come true today. Number one is the truth will set you free. Can you repeat after me? The truth will set you free. The secondly, Jesus was wounded so that all of our wounds can be healed. Amen. Heart of God is balanced and consistent. James chapter 2, verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. That is one way to express the heart of God. He is not harsh. He is not a judge with a big hammer ready to pronounce judgment every time we fall. Mercy, the heart of God is always leading with mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. There are times when God sees us fall into sin, and there could be moments of anger, but that is brief. His favor is for a lifetime. And just see the comparison, the brief moment of anger and the favor that lasts for a lifetime. Jesus demonstrates a heart that is balanced and a heart that is consistent. That's why in John 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace, and he leads with grace. That is why sinners can feel comfortable in his presence. There is not a condemnation, a fear. The first experience of Jesus is grace. But it's not all grace. There is some truth because he wants to speak truth because that truth that he speaks will set us free. Jesus is showing us the balance between grace and truth. There's also consistency in the heart of God. Jesus in Hebrews 13:8 is spoken of in this way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so today I want to talk about being balanced and consistent. Would you consider yourself balanced? Are you balanced? Are you consistent? What if you're imbalanced? What if you're inconsistent? How can we have the heart of God? That's what I want to talk about today. I think in some ways, marriage, it balances us. I have a certain tendency and a leaning. Jackie has a certain tendency and a leaning. And together, there is a balance. God made it that way, because in the fullness of God is displayed not with just one man, not with just two men, not two women, but a man and a woman is the fullness of God. There's a balance there that is beautiful in God's sight. Salvation has many expressions. There is a final salvation of our spirit, where we're in his presence. There's also an element of deliverance and a healing and a restoration. And I've been thinking about that because the contractor kind of messed up with the patio outside, and he put a polish, and that polish didn't go well. And instead of keeping it clean, it just attracted dirt. And so there's this brownish, yellowish film that has covered the tiles. And I've been spending hours this week trying to scrape it off. And it's a reminder, like when you scrape it off, underneath is so brilliant, and it's what I saw in the store. It's like I saw it and it was so beautiful. I said, okay, that I want to purchase for our tiles. But I brought it home, and then when I looked at it, it just didn't look the same. It's like yellowish, brownish film. And I think salvation is like that. We're not just saved and then entering into heaven bumbling and stumbling and full of sins and addictions and wounds. No, the point is we are being brought back to the original design. You take off the film and it is shining. It's as if it's the way you were before you sinned. That is part of the salvation process that we're all undergoing. So today I want to talk about what causes imbalance or inconsistency. When there are physical issues, some kind of a physical, chemical, neurological imbalance, like when your hormones are out of whack, we recognize this is a physical issue and we need to address it. Some days you might feel fine, other days you don't feel fine, so there's an inconsistency. Like today I feel achy, today I have a headache. Today, my joints are stiff. And so when you see these kind of things, there is an underlying illness, and here are just the symptoms that are showing up. So when there's this kind of imbalance, hormonal imbalance, this kind of physical inconsistency, there's some underlying physical illness that hopefully we can be healed of. And when it comes to physical things, I think we are so quick to ask for prayers. But when it comes to illnesses of our soul, illnesses of our spirit, this one we are a lot more reluctant to share, especially emotional/mental/soulish kind of issues. There's such a stigma with mental illness that you know, we're all on the spectrum. We all have some type of issue, mental, emotional. There's none of us who, unless you're perfectly sanctified, who doesn't have any issue. So I want to reclaim, take away the stigma of addressing soul issues, emotional issues, mental issues. There's just illnesses that we need to be healed of. Because you might be repenting of the same things, and after a while you wonder, how come I'm not changing? Why is my mind still thinking this way, even though I repented a million times? These emotions that I'm trying to keep in check, why is it ruling me? Why is it dominating me? We should be as quick to share and ask for prayers for soul issues, mental issues, emotional issues, as readily as we're eager to share about physical issues. Also issues of the spirit. And this is getting down to the root cause of things. Why am I the way that I am? What trauma did I go through? What type of sin pattern has solidified into a stronghold so that I am now, my spirit is now affected? The root issue that I want to deal with today. Satan attacks often through our flesh, because we are in the flesh, and so things come to us. People sin against us. Our parents, our siblings, even church leaders do all kinds of evil against us. And it comes through the flesh/body, and then it enters the soul, And then that issue, it's like it's almost subconscious, but once in a while it gets brought back to memory, and the thoughts get just flood back, and it's as if you're right back in that moment when that trauma first happened. And so these are this is how Satan comes. It's through the flesh, through the body first. Then he comes to our soul, our mind, our will is attacked, and his eventual goal is the spirit. Because in Luke chapter 4, it is Jesus was attacked in the body, the soul, but the final attack was the spirit. Jesus wants our spirits. God often heals in the reverse way, in our spirit first, then our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and then finally our bodies. I want to talk about illnesses that defile our spirits first. Esau, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, verse 15, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." And so these attacks that come through the flesh that and then pass through the soul, it ends up in our spirit. And when it ends up there, it is a root issue. And this issue of Esau, we know it. He was hungry. He came back after hunting, and Jacob is there. He planned this whole thing. He wanted the spiritual birthright because for Jacob, he valued spiritual things more than physical things. Esau is the reverse. He values fleshly, spiritual things. And so when this offer came, he could have rejected it, but he took it. And he says, "What is this birthright? It means nothing to me." And he exchanged a birthright, the spiritual blessing, for a bowl of soup. And this, it says, led to a root of bitterness. Another way you could say it, his spirit became embittered. And although he tried to reverse it, somehow spiritually there was something irreversible in that act. And so today, I pray that the Holy Spirit will start digging up root issues. Because until the root issues are addressed, we cannot change. There are issues that keep us stuck, and I'll explain that more. So, back to our main text, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And if you remember in Ephesians 6, verse 17, we have only one offensive weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this sword of the Spirit is the spoken word, the rhema. It's different from logos, the written word. And so when we speak out the word, that is our offensive weapon. It's like we're pulling the sword out of its sheath. But here it says plural. So why is it singular in Ephesians 6? But here it is plural. It's because we have to locate among all the different logos in God's word, all the written word, we have to locate based on my root issue that I'm facing, which one shall I claim as my weapon to demolish this thing? And so we got to find it and then declare it, and then that thing is broken in Jesus' name. And it says destroy strongholds. It's like when the Twin Towers fell, it was like a demolition. It just collapsed. That is the idea. The demolition. It is. You're exploding dynamite. That thing is torn down, cast down, pulled down, destroying strongholds. That is what it is. And a stronghold is a fortress. And so that has a positive kind of connotation, that you're. Protecting something valuable, but it also has a negative connotation. And I think here he's speaking about the negative connotation. It's a prison. It's not a fortress that's protecting valuable things. It's a prison that is trapping you and me. And it's something that keeps us locked up. And what locks us up? It's a false argument. That's another nuance of this definition. It's a false argument in which a person feels he is seeking shelter in. And you might say, if it's a demonic deception, if it's a lie, why would anyone find comfort there? Why would anyone choose to stay imprisoned there? Why would they choose to go there for their shelter, their fortress? And why when people are trying to help, do they fortify their position like a fortress and say, no, I am staying here? It's because that way of thinking is so familiar to you and to me. And it's based on some trauma, some events, something that happened so many years ago. And to protect yourself, you fortify some yourself with some kind of a thinking. And it's a lie. And yet we feel comfort there. And I hope today we do not feel comfortable in our prisons any longer. That God exposes the lie, because underneath the stronghold is a lie. And behind the lie is an unclean spirit. And I pray that today God would just put a spotlight on all the different strongholds. Beneath the strongholds, all the different lies. And beneath the lies, all the unclean spirits. So that we would not feel any kind of solace or comfort or shelter in these strongholds. If you've seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, I'm sure most of us have seen it. There is an older inmate named Brooks. He's been in prison his whole life. And the news comes that he's about to be released. But Brooks, all he knows is a prison. And so the thought of leaving the prison, leaving the walls, the safety, the familiar surroundings. I mean, he has a job, he has friends in the prison, and the thought of going to this unfamiliar world is so paralyzing to him that he commits suicide. And I wonder how many of us have been so familiar with a certain kind of thinking, the root issue is so deeply implanted that even though people have been trying to help and God himself has been trying to help, you keep on fortifying yourself in your own prison and saying, no, I want to stay here. It's dangerous out there. I don't want to be free. Let me stay here. I pray today God would set us free. Verse 5 and 6. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Destroy arguments. Again, pull down, cast down arguments. These are reasonings. These are thoughts. And I like this definition. These are imaginations. Because if these arguments are based on a lie, it's an imagination. You're escaping to a false reality. You think there's safety there. You think I'm better off there, but God wants to bring you out of prison. He wants to heal you of the wounds. He wants to set us free. Lofty opinion, every high thing. It's anything that's lifted up. It is an elevated structure that serves as a barrier. And it's competing with the knowledge of God. So instead of having direct access to God, these strongholds are raised up so high you can't even see God. God is behind the barrier. It's competing with the knowledge of God. And so that thing has to be pulled down in Jesus' name. Because if you don't pull it down, you cannot see God. He's behind the barricade. You've barricaded yourself in. The walls are too high. This high thing must be pulled down, cast down in Jesus' name. And it says, take captive every thought to obey Christ. And if you're a Christian, all of our heart's desire is we want to obey Christ fully. Fully, completely, every assignment he gives, we want to do it. We don't want to miss anything. Every obedience, we want to do it fully. But there are certain thought patterns, certain lies that we believe that make it impossible to fully obey Christ. There's a spirit, an unclean spirit that is latched on, that has raised itself so high that God is inviting you to obey him in this area, but you cannot because the wall has been raised up. Even Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering. And so for us, we have to learn obedience through this spiritual principle of warring against strongholds and casting them down in order to obey Christ. Because if you cannot, there will be so many missed opportunities to obey him. And when it says take captive, it is subdue, is to bring it under control. That thought pattern that always flares up, you can't help yourself. That emotional imbalance that keeps coming up, it flares itself with these triggers that happen throughout your day. This imbalance, this inconsistency, you have to take it captive. This is military language. And that's why I say behind the stronghold is a lie, and underneath the lie is this unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit you have to take captive and cast them down into the abyss. And then it says, be ready to punish every disobedience. This is to vindicate, to avenge, to punish a person or a thing. And so if you're unclear, are we really talking about unclean spirits? There it is. How can you punish an idea? No, it's punishing the spirit behind that idea. The stronghold that leads to a lie that has an unclean spirit. That unclean spirit needs to be punished, avenged. How did Jesus display the heart of God? When the woman was caught in adultery, John chapter 8, all of the religious leaders are staring at her. They want to throw stones at her. Often we do this even in the church. We just pounce on people. When they're the most vulnerable, this woman who is caught in sin, she is so ashamed. She knows that she deserves death. She is horrified that this has been made a public spectacle. And Jesus, displaying the heart of God, what does he do? He leads with grace. He bends down. He starts writing on the sand. And what is he doing? He's attracting all the attention away from this woman onto himself. And then when all the men, they drop their stones because they all have sinned. There's no sinless person in that crowd. So they all have been put in their place. They all walk away. And Jesus says to this woman, neither do I condemn you. From now on, sin no more. And so that is a balance of grace and truth. That's how Jesus consistently met people. He is not too harsh in one moment because he had a bad day. And then he's too gracious and kind of looking away from sin the next day. No, he's perfectly balanced. He is consistent. He is displaying the heart of God. As part of this message, I was thinking through Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8, where it speaks of the weaker brother. And this is weak in terms of faith. In Romans 14, it's an issue of eating, and some say we can eat anything. Some say no, only vegetables because certain meats are sinful. And this discussion, some are labeled weak in faith because, of course, we're allowed to eat everything in Christ. As long as we give thanksgiving, we can eat anything in Christ. We don't have to be Christian vegans. There's everything is permissible as long as we give thanks. Everything is available to us. And it speaks of the person who says, no, it's vegetables only. It's this person is weak in faith. I think we confuse weak in faith with strongholds. Because if there is a stronghold, we don't treat it as if this person is a weaker brother. No, with grace and truth, we address the issue. That this stronghold, we're not going to look past it, because if we look past it, we might say, okay, you're a weaker brother. No, this is not a weaker issue. This issue of your mind going a certain direction, your emotions going a certain direction. We don't in a community of grace that we try to be, we don't coddle people when there's a stronghold. Same with 1 Corinthians 8, a food sacrifice to idols. And if somebody who is stronger in their faith, you're eating food that was in a temple, and somebody who is weaker in their conscience. Again, it's weaker in faith, weaker in conscience. It's a lacking of some revelation. It's different than a stronghold, because when it comes to faith, when it comes to conscience, when it comes to some people lacking revelation, yes, they are weaker in all those senses, and we're gracious. We don't want to stumble such people. But when there is a stronghold, we have to approach it with grace and truth. Matthew chapter 7 is a good example. We don't see the speck in a brother's eye while we are blind to our own sins. We have a telephone pole coming out of our eye, and we don't hit the person with the back of the head with a 2x4 when the issue is a speck. Compared to our problems, every problem that we see in other people is a speck, and we should do it with grace, with consistency, with the heart of God. And it's a very delicate thing when you're taking a speck out of someone's eye. And when you've tried to help somebody, and maybe what you've seen is correct, but maybe you've done it in the wrong way. Maybe it wasn't God's timing for that person, and so maybe you should have prayed longer. There's many reasons why we try to address people's specs as far as we're concerned, with a right heart, but it just doesn't happen in a beautiful way. And so there's a repentance there for the person who's trying to help. But when it comes to strongholds, it's not the same as a weak faith, a weak conscience, a lack of revelation. If we see a brother and sister, and we can locate, there's a stronghold here. How can I help this brother, this sister with their speck? First, I got to deal with the log in my own eye. Make sure I have the right heart, the heart of God. Make sure I'm not blind and I'm seeing correctly. Make sure I'm asking the Lord, is it the right time? And then you start addressing, and it's with the right heart. And that person thanks you, and there's a repentance, and everything is beautiful. So in the family of God, I pray that we would be like Jesus, displaying the heart of God. Not grace only, not truth only, but a balance. First, grace. If there's a stronghold, let's not ignore it. Let's talk about it. We're not going to yell at you. We're not going to beat you with a stick. That's not the heart of God. Let's talk about it. We're not going to ignore it. That's also God's heart. He doesn't want to ignore these strongholds, because if you ignore it, you may be stuck, and that thing may become deeply rooted, and you may be hindered in your sanctification for 20, 30 years because somebody failed to speak what they saw. The heart of God is let's with grace, but with also truth, with a balance and a consistency. Let's first look at our own issues, and then let's look upon the issues of one another. Let's help one another, because we're all blind to issues. Let's help one another. This thing that we're so familiar, we're not even aware of. We're escaping to a false reality. Someone from the outside who sees it has to say, this is not healthy, brother. This way that you're thinking, this thought pattern, this emotion, I'm very sensitive to you, but at the same time, I don't want to cater to you or coddle you. I want to address it, but I want to do it with God's heart. Because we want to help one another in the body of Christ. We want to take out the specks. We want all of us to reach spiritual maturity and grow up into the head, who is Christ. Okay, let's pray. Today I want to guide us through some prayer. But before we pray, let's invite the Holy Spirit. And I've been praying this prayer all week from Psalm 139. Search my heart, O God. Is there any way that is offensive to you? Is there any way that grieves your heart? In my spirit, in my soul, in my body, in my mind, my emotions, my will, is there anything that is offensive? Invite the Holy Spirit. Take a moment. Ask Him to search you. Ask Him to search your thoughts. Are there thought patterns? Ask Him to search your emotions. Are there emotional patterns that are not right? Holy Spirit, we invite you. Search us, Lord. Search us, Lord. Search us, Lord. Is there anything offensive? Is there anything that needs healing today? Search us, Lord. Search us, Lord. Is there anything that needs healing in our spirit? Any root issue of bitterness, unforgiveness? Search us, Lord. Search us, Lord. Any stronghold, any lie, any unclean spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Now let's pull out our sword. I know we are a small group and it could be somewhat uncomfortable to speak aloud and to pray aloud, but I invite you to pull out your sword and use your own voice. First, repent of your sins. Confess them one by one. Ask for the healing that comes from the blood of Jesus. He was wounded so that you and I can be healed of all of our wounds. So let's spend a moment just repenting aloud of all of our sins and pleading the blood of Jesus. I repent, Lord Jesus. I repent. I repent, Lord. I repent, Lord, of anything that displeases you. I repent of every sin that displeases you. Please, I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask for forgiveness. Please. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me, oh Lord. Please help me, Lord. Every judgment, every proud thought. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Forgive me my bitterness, my unforgiveness. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead, forgive me, cleanse me by your blood. Cleanse me by your blood. Forgive me by your blood. Please help me. Please, Lord. Please. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Please help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to keep searching our heart. Ask Him, is there any stronghold? What is the deception underneath that stronghold? And what is the name of the unclean spirit that has given strength to that stronghold? Ask the Holy Spirit to search us. Where are we finding false comfort? Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to expose the lies and the deceit today. Holy Spirit, search the stronghold. Please, the spirit of bitterness, spirit of condemnation, spirit of lust, spirit of pride. We bind and rebuke every unclean spirit. Spirit of condemnation, we bind and rebuke you. Please help me, O Lord. Please help me, O Lord. Please help me, O Lord. We demolish it. We pull it down in Jesus' name. We cast them into the abyss. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, O Lord. Please expose all the lies. Expose all the lies, Lord. Expose all the lies. Expose all the lies. The stronger we fight, not with the weapons of flesh. Give us the right words to tear down the truth, the spoken truth, the word of God. Help me, O Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
Deliver, Lord, you from traumas and, Lord, bad mistakes, Lord, bad decisions, bad experiences, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, to heal, Lord, all these false things, what I've seen implanted in my life, Father. I pray you root it out in Jesus' name. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. Lord, remove or set me free. Cut my ties, cut all my soul ties, Lord, all these people, logic, reasoning, Lord.
I invite you to pray with me. Father, I come and surrender before you. I repent of all of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse and sanctify me by the blood of Jesus. I come in the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I bind and rebuke every unclean spirit. I cast them into the abyss. I bind and rebuke the spirit of condemnation. I cast you into the abyss. I am fully forgiven in Christ. I am clean because of the washing of the water with the word. There is no condemnation in Christ. There is no more guilt. I can have a clean conscience. I bind and rebuke the spirit of bitterness. I cast you into the abyss. Father, I ask you to uproot this root of bitterness. I ask you to, I bind and rebuke the spirit of unforgiveness. I cast you into the abyss. I pray that because I am forgiven, I too can forgive. I forgive everyone who's wronged me in my life. I will no longer go to the prison of unforgiveness. Thank you for the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name.